Amen. Thank you, Andy.
Well, it is good to be here. As Andy said earlier, it's been a while. I was thinking about it after Andy had said that. I think it's been about 3 years since I've been here. We've been in Barton roughly about 3 years. So it is good to be with you. Like Andy, I'm struggling a bit with my voice. Had a bit of a cough for the last week or so. But we trust that God will get us through as we listen to his word. If you'd like to turn to Luke's Gospel, Luke's Gospel chapter 15. I think, if my memory serves me correct, the last time we were here, I preached from Luke's Gospel. It wasn't from this passage, but I trust that as we come to God's word, he'll speak to us in a new way. So Luke chapter 15 and verses 1 to 7. Luke 15 verses 1 to 7. A well-known passage, I'm sure, for many of us. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, that is Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who have no need of repentance. And this is God's word. A while ago, I was reading an article about a lady who lost her mother's gold bracelet while she was trekking through the mountains of Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia. I don't know if you've heard of that country before. Her mother, just before she went on this trek, had died. And there were lots of memories wrapped up in that little bracelet. It wasn't just a gold bracelet. But as some of us might know, Kyrgyzstan is a big country. And she had no idea at what point along that trek she had dropped this bracelet. She retraced some of her steps, but it couldn't be found. She didn't think she would ever come across this bracelet again. Who knows where it would have fallen? Disappointed, she carried on her trek and she arrived back in the UK. Several days after arriving home, she received a surprising message on Facebook, a message from one of the guides that had guided her along the trek in Kyrgyzstan. Her bracelet had been found. But what would she do? She's in the UK. The bracelet is in Kyrgyzstan. She was advised not to get it posted back. It might never get out of Kyrgyzstan, never mind arrive back in the UK. Would she arrange for another traveller to bring it back when they were coming home? Well, she didn't know anybody that was going there on a trek. Would she wait to go herself in a few years' time? Well, no. She packed her suitcase again, and she made that 4,000-mile journey back to Kyrgyzstan. This wasn't any old bracelet, after all. It was her mother's, and she was determined to get it back. It was precious, and that made all the difference. That's why she turned around and went back again. And I think this story captures what Luke chapter 15 is all about. In fact, it captures what the Gospel of Luke is all about. As we read in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, right after that wonderful story of Zacchaeus announcing that salvation has come to this house, it says the Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost. If you want one verse to sum up the Gospel of Luke, then there it's there. The Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save the lost. This is why Jesus came. This is the heartbeat of heaven, we could say. Sinners repenting of their sin and entering the kingdom of God. That's what makes heaven rejoice. We see that here in our passage as well. This chapter, made up of three similar parables that we will think about one of them today. This parable, this chapter is answering one big question in Luke's gospel. Who's included in the family of God? What are the entry requirements? Who can be part of God's family? What does God care about? What does God value? Well, only people who were lost and have now been found by Jesus can be part of the kingdom, can be part of his family. Remember, Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem to die and to rise again. He's going there, we could say, to heal the spiritually sick. As he put it earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 32, he said clearly that he had not come to call the righteous, or we could say those who think they're righteous, but he had come to call sinners to repentance. So God's family is not for people who think they're righteous enough or religious enough. It's not for those who think they can get in off their own bat, like the Pharisees and the scribes that were grumbling in verse 2. No, it's for tax collectors and sinners, people like Zacchaeus, those who realize that they're lost and need to be found. Jesus is hanging out with sinners, not because he enjoyed that lifestyle, but because he wanted to transform their lives. The religious leaders are grumbling, but heaven is rejoicing over sinners entering the kingdom of God. That's why we have these three lost and found parables in Luke chapter 15. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son, or we could say sons, are all about the lost being found. These parables show us what God values, what God cares about, what makes heaven rejoice. But at the same time, remember the context. Remember what Jesus is doing. Jesus is challenging the ingrained hard-heartedness of the grumbling religious leaders. And he does that, firstly, by telling us a story, a parable about a lost sheep, a lost sheep. Many of us know this. Maybe many of us have learned this from a young age. But God's word calls on us to step into the shoes of a shepherd for a few moments. Jesus asks the question, what will a shepherd do if one of his sheep wanders off and gets lost? What will he do? Will he leave it? Or will he go and find it? That's the question that Jesus is asking everybody that's listening to him. Will he leave it? Or will he go and find it? Remember, Jesus doesn't have Lincolnshire in his mind when he tells this story. No, the wilderness of the Middle East in the first century was fraught with danger. A sheep could wander off in the baking sun in the wilderness. It could die from a lack of shade. It could die from a lack of water. It could die from a lack of food. Wolves and predators were always on the lookout for their next dinner. There was always the danger of rocks giving way and sheep tumbling down a cliff edge. The wilderness in the Middle East in the first century was fraught with danger for a sheep. The nursery rhyme Little Bo Peep is actually wrong. If you leave a sheep alone, it won't come home wagging its tail behind it. It'll stay where it is. It'll get lost. So if you were in the shoes of this shepherd, what would you do? Well, it depends, doesn't it? We need to ask ourselves a question. How valuable is that sheep? Your answer to that question will determine whether you stay or whether you go. If you don't care very much about that sheep, then you'll say, well, it's only one sheep. I've still got 99. They're safe. They're sound. You win some, you lose some. This one sheep out in the wilderness is not really worth the risk. That's the nature of the shepherding business after all, isn't it? I'll get a replacement tomorrow at the market. But if you value that sheep, if you care about it, then you'll go after it, won't you? Despite the danger, you'll go after it. You'll search high and low until you find it. You'll stop at nothing until that sheep is in your arms, on your shoulders, safely on its way back to the sheepfold with all the rest. And that's what the shepherd in the parable does. Clearly, the sheep matters to him. And because of that, he doesn't abandon it. He doesn't leave it out there for the wolves for their next dinner. He goes after it. He'll not settle until it's safely home with all the rest. In fact, we read that he brings it home. And he's so overjoyed that this sheep is finally home that he throws a party for his friends and his neighbors, verse 6, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." In that society, good news is often celebrated in community, with family, with friends, with neighbors. And here's the shepherd sharing his joy with the community that he lives in. The lost, wayward, confused, defenseless, tired sheep is home. And that's a cause for rejoicing. For celebration. The lady in her story at the beginning didn't go all the way back to Kyrgyzstan simply for a gold bracelet. Yes, it was a gold bracelet, but it was far more than that, wasn't it? It was precious, it was valuable, not because it was gold, but because it belonged to her mother, because of all that was wrapped up in that bracelet. The sheep is precious to this shepherd, not because it's a pedigree sheep, but because it's his. It belongs to him. So what's Jesus saying through this story? What's Jesus saying through this parable? Well, verse 7 gives us the answer. Just so, Jesus says, or in the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who've no need of repentance. It's a wonderful picture that Jesus gives us here, isn't it? Heaven rejoicing. Just imagine it for a second. We long to join in with that, don't we? We look forward to that one day. Millions of angels praising God. And what are they praising God for? Well, they're praising God in response to someone repenting of their sin and entering the kingdom of God. They're bowing down before the Lord in heaven because someone who was lost has been found. But remember, this parable is also a scathing attack on the hard-hearted religious leaders. We read that in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This is why Jesus tells this story, this parable. Remember, they were meant to be the shepherds of God's people. They were meant to be the ones rejoicing along with heaven because people are entering the kingdom of God. But instead, what are they doing? They're grumbling, the opposite of rejoicing. They're grumbling because they think that sinners, people like tax collectors and prostitutes, etc., are of no value, of little value. As Jesus says later on in Luke's Gospel in chapter 18, just before the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, he was writing these things to religious leaders who were trusting in themselves that they were righteous, and as a result of that, they were treating others with contempt, it says. In their eyes, sinners like this are of no value. They're worthless. They aren't fit for the kingdom of God. They aren't worth lifting a finger for, never mind going out into the wilderness searching for relentlessly until they're found. They were meant to be the tender shepherds of God's people. They were meant to be the ones who would stop at nothing to go out and seek and save the lost, rejoicing with heaven when one lost person is found. But instead they're grumbling, it says. At this point, Jesus probably has the words of the prophet Ezekiel in mind as he challenges these religious leaders. Notice what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 4. It says this, "The word of the Lord came to me," Ezekiel says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to their shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves, God says, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep," God says to his people back then. And then notice what he goes on to say. "The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." That was God's word to the so-called shepherds back then. The religious leaders in Luke chapter 15 were meant to care for the people, but they didn't care less. They were looking after number one. They were treating the people like slaves. They had no interest in their well-being. If they found themselves in peril, they had no interest to go out and find them and bring them back. And that begs the question for us, doesn't it? Where is the shepherd of God's people? Where is the one who will strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind up the injured, bring back the strays, seek the lost? Where is he? If the religious leaders here in Luke chapter 15 has failed, then where is the shepherd of God's people? Well, he's here, isn't he? He's in Luke chapter 15. It's the tender, compassionate, relentless shepherd, the Lord Jesus. He's the good shepherd of God's people, the one who came to seek and save the lost, the one who had compassion on crowds of people, we read, crowds of people who were lost, people who were like sheep, it says, without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. The one who valued the sheep, the one who cared for the sheep, valued them so much that he would stop at nothing to find them and bring them all the way back home. Going as far as dying on a Roman cross to save them. It was always God's plan to rescue and shepherd his people. But because of the so-called shepherd's failing, God the Son would come and do it himself. And that's exactly what Ezekiel 34 goes on to say. We read verses 1 to 4 of that chapter, but notice verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. It's almost like he's saying, well, they failed, so I'll come and do it myself. Verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. Verses 23 and 24, And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. I will come and do it myself, God says. Jesus, in fulfillment of Ezekiel chapter 34, has come to rescue the lost sheep. Our sin was placed on his shoulders at the cross so that he might carry us home on his shoulders. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says that for the joy that was set before him, the joy of heaven ringing with the sound of the news that a sinner has repented and entered the kingdom of God, for the joy that was set before me, endured the cross. The joy of seeing men and women, boys and girls, repent and enter the kingdom of God. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. As one person I was reading put it, the Pharisees looked down on sinners, but Jesus looked for them. The Pharisees looked down on sinners, but Jesus looked for them. It's true for each one of us this morning that we have all wandered from the God who made us. We fool ourselves into thinking that we can go our own way without God in our lives. We look everywhere for shepherds to guide us, but sooner or later, they'll all let us down. And in truth, we were in danger. Danger was around every corner. At any moment, we could have died and faced the just judgment of God. But praise God for the good shepherd, the one who came and gave his life for the lost sheep. We're all lost. By repenting of our sin and putting our faith in him, we can know what it means to be found by God. Around this time, 17 years ago, I put my trust in the Lord Jesus. One night after a church service, I went home, opened up the Bible, and I was in John chapter 10. And verse 9, where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. And when he says in that wonderful verse that I am the door, I am the door to the sheepfold. Anyone that enters in through me will be saved. The Lord used that verse to bring me to Christ. The good shepherd went out, searched for me, and brought me home. And I'm sure there are many people who have a similar story this morning. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25 says, Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds or by his stripes we have been healed. And then he says this, for you were straying like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Praise God. There's only one shepherd worth following today, and that's Jesus. And Jesus will never abandon us. He doesn't just rescue us once and then leave us to our own devices. He'll never abandon us. He has promised to be with us. Behold, I'll be with you always, right up until the very end of the age, he said. He keeps on rescuing us, although we're still dumb enough to wander away from our Saviour. Although we still have the tendency, like the religious leaders, to be full of self-importance and think that we're self-sufficient. Although that's often our story, Jesus will not abandon us to the wolves. He said in John 10 and verse 28, I give them eternal life and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. He's holding us tight this morning. Jesus keeps on coming to find us. He keeps on lifting us up on his shoulders and bringing us safely home again and again and again. As Isaiah 40 and 11 puts it, he keeps on tending his flock like a shepherd, gathering the lambs in his arms, carrying them in his bosom, and gently, tenderly leading those that are with young. The tender shepherd is the one that we needed, and still today, this morning, is the one that we need. I love John Newton. And John Newton once said this: a sheep is a weak, defenseless, foolish creature, prone to wander, and if at once it wanders astray, can seldom return of its own accord. A sheep has neither strength to fight with the wolf, nor speed to escape from him. Such is our character and our situation, John Newton says. We are unable to take care of ourselves, prone to wander from our resting place, exposed to enemies which we can neither withstand nor avoid, without any resource in ourselves, and taught by daily experience of the insufficiency of everything around us. But then he ends like this: yet if Jesus is our shepherd, as weak and as helpless as we are, we can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. If Jesus is our shepherd, we have everything that we need. Praise God that if we have Jesus, then it's all that we need today. But there's more we can say. The risen Lord Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, begins that process of transformation. And part of that process of transformation is he gives us a love for the lost. He gives us a compassion for sinners. He reminds us that people, whoever they happen to be, are made in the image of God, that they're valuable. They should never be on the receiving end of our indifference or self-importance or pride. And he sends us out, doesn't he? He sends us out as ambassadors of the Good Shepherd to call our friends, family, neighbours, colleagues to repent and trust in him. Some of you have already this morning testified to that you've got a desire to do that. There are many lost sheep in this community today. Maybe your next door neighbour, maybe a family member, maybe a friend that you've known for all your life. There are many lost sheep in this community. Little do they know that eternal judgment waits around every corner. Danger waits around every corner. How do you feel about them today? Are they of little value to you? Are they really worth the bother? Are they just another face in the crowd? May the Good Shepherd renew our compassion for the lost and give us a tender passion to go and make him known. Go and make him known to those that we love, and yet we know are lost. Only he can bring them back. Only he can relentlessly go and search for them, bringing them into God's family. May the Lord give us the hope and the trust and the prayerful dependence that we need, that he'll carry out his plans, that he'll bring them all the way back home. And may we rejoice with heaven. May we rejoice with the angels in heaven at the news soon that our loved one, family member, friend, neighbour, colleague has repented of their sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus. May we be able to rejoice with heaven soon at that news. All for the glory of the Good Shepherd, the one who left heaven, came down to earth, who sought us out despite the danger, who sought us out, dying on the cross, rising again on the third day, bringing us into the family of God. This is God's word. May he speak to us through it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that for many of us, we can say today he is our Savior. He went out at some point in our lives. He searched for us. He found us and he brought us all the way back home. And we thank you that he does that every day, because we know that like sheep, we're prone to wander away from the Savior who loved us. We're prone to self-sufficiency and pride. And yet we thank you that the Savior says, no one, nothing will pluck us out of his hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you keep coming. Keep coming, taking us out of that danger and bringing us back home. Lord, we praise you. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.